Welcome, everybody. Tonight we are in chapter 14 of the book of Leviticus, cleansing the leper. And this is dealing with the skin ailment of leprosy. For the ancient Hebrews, it actually involved a lot more than the disease that we currently call leprosy. But it's a picture of sin. But the focus here of the ritual that was given to Moses makes the focus not the disease, but the leper who is cleansed. The priests were given instruction on how to verify that they were indeed cleansed. And as leprosy was a horrible disease, it resulted in them being expelled from the camp. They had to live outside the camp and not have any contact with anyone. And this is a picture of sin, even as that familiar hymn that we often sing, that we were a wretch, the amazing grace of God that saved a wretch like me. And this was leprosy. This was the disease that impacted their ability to live among their relatives, their family, to conduct regular daily living routines. But sin has a similar impact upon us. And it can't be cured by our own efforts. But it is only by the grace of God, from the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, who deals with our sin problem. And he has paid the penalty for our sin and our reconciliation, even our return to the camp, as pictured here in this discussion of leprosy. Buddy, would you open tonight with the Lord's Prayer, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen. And this deliverance from leprosy was not the work of the priests. They were only there to verify that the cleansing, that the healing had occurred. And likewise, we measure the validity of one's profession of faith, not by the works, or not by any power of any preacher to save. It's the faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that guarantees our cleansing and our healing and our forgiveness of sin. But this chapter 14 of the book of Leviticus, the first 9 verses, gives us a picture of that measurement that the priests were given. And although the focus is upon leprosy, even upon the leper, the real focus, as with all of Scripture, is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The types and the shadows of the procedure that is given to the priest here points to none other than Jesus Christ, as we shall see. So, Brother Tom, would you read verses 1 to 9 in Leviticus 14?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes also. He shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean.
Amen. Thank you. This is quite a process for the verification that one has been cleansed from leprosy. Even as our salvation is often a process, it's as I was often said, a work in progress. But there comes a point where the validity of it, the truth of it, is evident even to us. For James reminds us that faith without works is dead. And those works that we do are a verification of the work that God has done in our hearts. And he has enabled us to do those things which he has foreordained for us to do. And as this process of salvation is a process and not just an instantaneous or a complete work all in one day, such is the experience of many of God's people down through the ages. And this was certainly the case with a man by the name of John Bunyan. John Bunyan was born in 1628. And by his own definition, he was a rogue. He was a gang leader and full of mischief. But he had a desire to consider salvation and life as a Christian. But he quickly came to realize that he couldn't accomplish that by himself, by his own willpower or by his own good deeds. He called himself a painted hypocrite. And he got married at age 19. And he continued to recognize his need for salvation. He began to read the scriptures. And by 1651, he described as what he felt was a burden of sin lifted off his back. And he came to a personal knowledge of Christ. And he surrendered his life to the Savior. He felt the call to preach. But England in that day was a very dangerous time to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For according to King Charles II, one had to be ordained by the Anglican Church in order to be authorized and legalized to preach. But John Bunyan understood that his call was from God and not from the king. And he spent lengthy periods of incarceration because of his refusal to bow to the King of England with regard to the expression or the living of his faith. It was during his second period of imprisonment in 1675 that he began to write the allegory, that book, The Pilgrim's Progress, which is the second best-selling book of all time, second only to the Bible. And on February the 18th, 1678, it was published in a catalog as one of the handful of newly published books that was available that year. Many people regard Pilgrim's Progress, which describes the journey of faith of the Christian, as a sort of autobiography of John Bunyan's own experience. But it was a process, and it was a progress of faith as he began that journey and as he progressed towards the celestial city. And such is the case for every Christian. As we undergo the work of the Holy Spirit, the process of sanctification, and the expression of our faith, in worship, in prayer, in pursuing the holiness of God and seeking to model the attributes and the characteristics of Christ as we strive to be more like Him in every thought, every word, and every deed. As I said, this section in chapter 14 is about leprosy. But leprosy is a type and a shadow of the sin that affects us all. And just as this leprosy was more than that modern disease that we call leprosy, it manifested itself in different degrees. If we would read the entire section of Leviticus with regard to the identification of the various expressions of leprosy, it involves all kinds of ailments, all kinds of skin problems. And they're described in different ways, and they're in different degrees. Even as sin often manifests itself in lives of people in many different ways, to different degrees. Some people are certainly more vile than others. But we all must recognize that if we've violated any of God's commandments in thought, word, or deed, we're guilty of them all. And thus, like Paul, we should be prepared to say that we are the chief of sinners, that we acknowledge our guilt before a holy and a righteous God. But this leprosy represented sin, and it represents the condition in which we all find ourselves. But this description here in chapter 14 is for the purpose in which Moses was instructed to tell the priests the procedure for inspection of someone who has been cleansed from leprosy. It doesn't say that the priests cleansed them or cleaned them themselves. This was an act of God. It was a supernatural work, even as we are cleansed from our sin by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God, based upon the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. So the salvation is accomplished by God, but we witness the end result. We witness the transformation that has occurred in the lives of the people who He has called, whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life even before the foundation of the world, and those who obediently submit to the instruction of His Word as we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and taught and prepared and equipped to serve and to obey. But this description of the process of verifying that someone has been cleansed from leprosy is really a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the types and the shadows here that are presented in this passage are very much like the parables that Jesus Himself taught, using everyday objects, everyday occurrences that were very familiar with the people in order to make a spiritual point, in order to teach a theological truth. And we see Christ in this in a number of different ways. First, he says that the priest must take two living birds. Two living birds which are pure. They're the birds that are described elsewhere in the Levitical laws as those which were fit for sacrifice, clean birds. And thus, the picture, again, is Christ. The birds fly in the heavens, but they had to come down, and they had to be gathered among the sick. The priests had to go outside the camp. They were not able to bring the leprous people into the camp, for they were ostracized. They were cast out from among the society. But if the word came that one of them had been cleansed, the priest went outside the camp to verify. And this, too, represents Christ in that He, the perfect Son of God, came into this fallen world to not only accomplish our salvation, but also to prove its validity. The bird came down from heaven, and we read here that one of them was killed over a clay pot, an earthen vessel. Again, a picture of God coming down in the form of man and taking upon himself flesh that we might have deliverance. The bird which was killed was to be slain, and its blood would be collected in this clay pot full of water. But not just any water, not stagnant water, not contaminated water. It had to be running water, clean water, water from a stream or a river, which signified life. Even as the Holy Spirit of God is often pictured as living water that comes from the throne of God and accomplishes our salvation through faith, through believing in what Christ has accomplished at Calvary for our sins. The priest was to take the living bird and cedar wood, a branch, and also a cord of scarlet, not a scarlet cloth, but a cord, blood-colored, and some hyssop. And this is an interesting combination because there's great symbolism even in that. Because the cedar wood, coming from the most majestic and strongest of trees, is a picture of pride and arrogance. And as we read the Old Testament in particular, oftentimes the disease of leprosy was prompted by pride and arrogance. When Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses and rebelled against God, Miriam was stricken with leprosy, prompting Moses to intercede on her behalf and pray for her cleansing. But many other times in Scripture, wherever there was an expression of pride or arrogance, leprosy was the result. It happened to King Uzziah when he took upon himself the role of the priest and overstepped his authority as king. But many other times in the Old Testament, it was an expression of God's judgment. So therefore, again, there's a direct link to this occurrence of leprosy to pride and arrogance and sin. The scarlet cord is very much like that scarlet cord that delivered Rahab because of her faith. She hung that cord from her window when the judgment fell upon Jericho. And the Hebrew spies which she had saved had instructed her to hang a scarlet cord in the window so that they might know to spare her and her family, whoever might be with her at the time of the falling of the walls of Jericho. And then there was hyssop. And hyssop is frequently mentioned as that cleansing power. It was an expression of humility. But the hyssop was used to sprinkle the water or the blood of the sacrifice. And thus, the humility of the hyssop countered the pride and the arrogance of the cedar wood. And they were used together to accomplish the salvation, the verification of God's work in the cleansing of the leper. The scarlet cord tied the living bird to the branch, and the hyssop was tied to its tail. The blood was accumulated in the earthen vessel from the dead bird. And thus the hyssop was used to sprinkle 7 times. Again, expressing the process. It was not just an instantaneous cleansing. It was a ritual. It was a process that God instructed over time to illustrate the cleansing power of God in the life of the living bird. And when the process was complete, when the verification was accomplished, the living bird was released into the open field. This too is a picture of Christ, because it represented, just as the dead bird represented a sacrifice on behalf of the sinner, the living bird, and very much like the scapegoat in the previous chapter, this living bird might be called a scape bird, because after it was sprinkled with the blood, it was released in the open air, and it flew away. And this too represents Christ, because after his death and after his burial, after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. He resumed his rightful position at the right hand of God the Father on the throne of heaven. And thus, the living bird. So, this all pictures Christ. And it pictures the results, the beneficial results for the leper, who is now established and verified to be cleansed, to be healed, to be free from disease, even as by faith in Christ we are freed from the bondage of sin, and we are guaranteed new life in Christ. The leper who had been previously afflicted was then instructed over the next 7 days to wash their garments, to be cleansed, to verify that they were indeed cleaned. And on the seventh day, then, they were instructed to shave their hair and their eyebrows. And this would have given a clear view to all who observed them that there was no remaining leprosy, no continuing effects of the leprous condition on their skin anywhere on their body. And thus, they were readmitted into the camp. Even as by faith, because of our salvation, we are admitted into the presence of God, to a relationship with Him, to be indwelt by His Spirit, and thus to be prepared for that eternal life that He has guaranteed all who will repent and believe. So this passage deals with the cleansing of the leper. It is the cleansing from leprosy, even as the healing of sin. But the process of our verification is very much like the picture of baptism, where we publicly identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The baptism is not that which saves any more than the sprinkling of the bird with the blood of the dead bird was any saving efficacy in and of itself. It merely was a representation of the process. And the baptism that we undergo in obedience to the command of the word of the Lord is an expression of our submission to His instruction, an evidence of the faith that we possess in response to what He has already done for us. And thus, the verification. The priests were instructed to verify, to validate. And the elders of the church have a responsibility of reviewing those who make a profession of faith, to encourage, to edify, to teach, and to instruct. And this then involves the exposition of the Word of God, that we might apply it to our daily lives, that we might put it into practice. For faith without works is dead. We can't merely say that we're Christians without any evidence of it. The self-righteous Pharisees were challenged by John the Baptist to show the fruits meet for repentance. They came to inspect and to gather information, usually with a skeptical or a hostile manner or attitude. But they were not there to express repentance, to learn of God's truth that brought many of the rest of the people there to the banks of Jordan for immersion and for baptism. They were there for their ulterior motives. And John, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, knew that. Many people today presume to be Christians. They claim to be Christians, but only nominally, only in name, and without any real evidence of any transformation of their heart, without any evidence of the works that God has foreordained for us to do, and without any real evidence of the Holy Spirit of God having done anything in their lives. So this is a challenge to us, that we need to show forth the works, not to accomplish our salvation, but to verify it, to validate it, to be fruitful, to adopt the Christian character, the fruits of the Spirit that God has promised to His people, and thus to illustrate and to proclaim the reality that God has indeed worked in our lives, that by faith we trust in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine, and that we thus might be numbered in the kingdom, that we might have eternal life, and that we might anticipate with hope and not dread the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this cleansing from leprosy is the work of God. The verification of it is the responsibility of the priests, even as it is the responsibility of other Christians to have fellowship with those who are redeemed, to not consider ourselves better than them, not to measure their past sins against ours. For the Scripture says that our sins have been separated as far as the east is from the west. Many people in the early days doubted Paul's conversion, but as time passed, it became evident that he was suffering mightily for the kingdom of God, that he was truly instructed by the risen Savior, and he thus was numbered among the apostles. He met with Peter and James and the other apostles. He was accepted among them. And despite the early questions and skepticism, the power of God was proven in his life, and he became the apostle to the Gentile world. And sometimes our conversion is doubted by some, particularly those who are closest to us. They perhaps wonder whether it's just a passing fad, whether it's just a work of the will or an effort to accomplish something for some ulterior motive. But over time, if our conversion is real, then the evidence of God's work in our lives will be evident, and there will be that peace and joy and all of the attributes of the Spirit of God that manifest themselves to one degree or another in our lives, that we might show forth the faith that we possess. Ultimately, the determination is God's, because we can't fully read the hearts and the minds of others, but we can know them by the love that they demonstrate one to another, even as Christ indicated that that was the way that the Christians would be recognized. And we thus have that responsibility to show forth love to the brethren, to be intercessory in prayer, to help wherever possible, to provide for the needs of the brethren in the assembly, and to do that which is like unto Christ. For Jesus himself said that when you've done this to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. And this too is the outworking of the Spirit of God in the lives of his people. We have a responsibility to be more like Christ, to strive for holiness and obedience, to cleanse ourselves because we have been cleansed from the inside through faith by the grace of God and transformed into a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Mm-hmm.